Good singing. That's one of my favorite songs. Man, you sing about the love of God.
Amen.
Sing about the blood.
Amen.
Man, that's what we need more of, isn't it?
Yes,
if I were to ask you, heard this said, and you probably have too. Someone said, "How much does God love you? How much does God love you?" And they said, "He stretched out his arms and died." And that's true, but that's not the extent of it. See, God is love. So all that He is, He's infinite. He's all powerful. That's how much He loves you. Because He cannot. That's who He is. See, a lot of times we get this idea of love, and we say it a lot, right? Oh, man, I love you. We tell our wives and husbands, I love you. We tell others we love you. But the very essence of love is action.
Yes. Right.
And we see that. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Yes, sir.
For God so loved the world that He gave, right? No greater love than this than a man, what? Lay down his life.
That's right.
God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died. So when we look at the word love, we think, well, I know what it means. But the whole concept we have of love is just our flesh and our carnal mind, our temporal mind. And and here's what I'm saying. Sometimes we equate the love of God to how we love. He's bigger than that, right? So we'll look at things and say, well, you know, if Brother Johnny does this to me and it causes me not to love him, then that's how God is towards me. No, that's not how God is toward you at all, right? And we've got to look at, we got to think of God on a whole different plane and level than we are. Because if we ever try to, we were talking about this, how many times do we question God and want God to explain things to us, and we'll say, you know, this just doesn't make sense to me, and I don't understand why God's doing this, why He's not doing this, and He's just going to have to explain it. When we get to heaven, He's going to have to explain it. He doesn't have to do anything.
That's right.
The only thing God is bound by is His Word. If He says in His Word He will or will not do something, He must do it because He's bound by His Word. Other than that, He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to call me, doesn't have to call the Baptist, doesn't have to call you. Yeah, you better say amen right there. He is God. And this morning, I'm thankful that He loves us. And I love that part of that song where it says if the oceans, think about that, if the oceans were ink, to write down or describe the love of God would drain the oceans. You can't, there's not enough to describe the love of God. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18 this morning. We'll begin in verse number 1. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate all the good singing. And I will be conscious of the time. I know, you know, sometimes when I hadn't preached all Sunday, then the next Sunday I make up for it. And you know, I'll preach an hour and a half, 2 hours. But I won't do that today, maybe. But Luke 18, verse number 1, the Bible said He spake a parable. And a parable, you know, is a story. And I like the way the fact that the Lord would break things down to where people could understand it, right? See the part of the issue with us as preachers and teachers is if we don't break it down to where you understand it, not that we're elevated in our intellect or knowledge, but if we try to speak so highly that you're impressed with us and you don't understand it, we've done no good. And Jesus, who had all knowledge and all wisdom, would understand that in order for His message to be impactful, He had to make it to where the hearers understood it. And so He speaks in these things called parables, and I'm thankful, aren't you? He said He spake a parable unto this end. Notice this, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Notice verse 5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wear. He said, she's just wearing me down, right? I wasn't going to do anything, but she just keeps on, right? She is persistent. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust, notice that unjust judge. It's very important. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which he which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's important, because sometimes, Brother Matt, we'll get that whole scripture, but we'll miss that last question Jesus asked. Shall he find faith on the earth? Because in the very first verse of this chapter, he said men ought always to pray and do what? Not to faint.
That's right.
And then the last part of that parable, he said, will he find faith in the earth right. when he comes? So it's almost like saying in the parable, he's saying we're in the present time. When he comes back is a future time. And in order for us to not get weary and to quit, we have to spend much time in persistent, persevering prayer so that when he does come, we've not lost faith. So our theme for the year is let's find out. I mean, again, the whole idea of this year is we're going to expect big things out of God. I was meeting with these pastors yesterday. It was, I don't know, four or five of us. Maybe a couple more. And Brother Danny, the whole thing, we talked about some things and some issues going on, and we ended up with this. And every time it seems like I get around pastors, it's the same thing. How's your church doing? Pretty good. Good days, bad days, up and down. I mean, you know. But Jimmy, you always get in these meetings and you'd want everybody, man, we're doing great. Praise God. God's moving in every service. And finally you realize that's not where it is like that anywhere. But they just kept, how's this going good?
Amen.
Good days, bad days, up, down, right?
Right.
How has it been since COVID? Been fine?
Right.
I mean, I'm just looking. We're a little off today, but we got a pretty good crowd in the house this morning,
Amen.
You know? Right. Well, ever since COVID, our attendance is, you know, and I'm thinking, but we can, that's 3 years ago. We're just going to hang in there, you know, until Jesus comes. Well, it's COVID happened. That destroyed Christianity. No, it didn't.
Right.
See, we just lost some faith, hadn't we? We got weary. And my whole idea this year, let's find out. I mean, if we're going to intellectually and spiritually and in our Christian lingo talk about he can do anything, we're more than conquerors through Christ. I'm on the winning side. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. He can do all things. Oh, but not today.
Come on, preach on.
You just don't understand, preacher, where we're going and what our life is like. And can we not get there pretty quickly?
That's right. Come on now.
So here Jesus is laying out that. I mean, he's very relevant for today, because if we're going to find out how big God is, if he's still true to his word, you know what it's going to consist of? Two things, really. Verse 1, men ought always to what? Pray.
Yes, sir.
And faint not, right? That's together. And then verse 8, shall he find what? Faith. Prayer, faith.
Amen.
Prayer, yes. Not getting weary, faith.
Amen.
Right? That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about trinkets that God, you know, well, if he'll just give us a sign, if he'll just show us, he's showing us in his word. So here's what I want you to see this morning. The scripture, or the title of the message, She Troubleth Me.
Right.
And let me ask you this. Have you ever had to deal with bullies in your life? I mean, today it's a big thing, right? Today, Brother Chris, it's like they got anti-bullying laws and all that. We had it back in our day, too. You know, if you had red hair, freckles, they made fun of you. We handled it different. We just went out back and, you know, you duke it out or whatever, and then you go back in and we're friends and buddies. And
right.
You know, of course, we didn't have social media and all the crazy stuff today, but we've all faced that, right? And so this woman, that's what she's saying. She's saying somebody's bothering me. Somebody is bullying me. Someone is oppressing me. Someone is hindering me. And so she goes to the very one that could help her or who she thought could help, and they did nothing. But she didn't give up. She just kept on and kept on and kept on, and finally this unrighteous judge said, listen, if I don't do something, she's going to continue. How many daddies out there, you got girls in your house, and they do that to you? Please. They don't even have one word. Please, 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 please. Y'all don't smile. It don't work with me. They wear you down, don't they? Finally, you're just like, if you'll just shut your mouth, we'll do whatever. Right? Well, that's the illustration the Lord gives. He said, if this unjust judge will do that, he said, you don't have to even go that far with the just judge. If this guy that doesn't care a thing about her, right, will submit really and do what she's asking him to do, he's saying, you got a heavenly Father that loves you more than any of that, and all we got to do is go to him. And so we are given a tip from this troubled widow on how to be victorious in the Christian life. And listen, folks, that's what we need. We just sang about I'm on the winning side. We were singing about the love of God. We were singing as a congregation those hymns of Zion that ought to just swell something up in our heart to go, boy, we are on the winning side, hallelujah. And I don't care what Fox News said and MSNBC, and I don't care what Facebook says. I am on the winning side, and I want to live a victorious life. And how do I do it? We do what God tells us to do. So the parable teaches us about the importance of praying, persevering, and having powerful boldness. Yes, sir. Glory to God. And I'll share with you, number one, the defense against defeat. Yes. See, that's where we are. It is so easy to defeat people today.
That's right.
Satan has such an easy job today. All you got to do is, Brother Robert, just irritate him a little bit. He didn't have to, most people, he didn't have to have an all-out offensive. It's just,
right.
I'm done. Right?
You're right.
You ever watch some of them old karate movies? You had that one guy, he just, they'd fall out. That's the way the devil does most Christians, right? Boo. I'm done. I'm done. It's too hard. Right? You've never been in a knockdown, drag out fight with him. He just, oh, all this persecution I'm going through, you don't even understand. The martyrs didn't go through what we're going through.
You're right.
Right? We're easy to defeat. But God gives us some defense against that. If we'll listen, right? Here's what he says. Verse number one. He spake a parable unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Let's close in prayer and go home. We just settled the whole thing right there. We don't have to preach for an hour. He just told us right there. You want to fix the problem? Here's how you do it. Pray. Don't faint.
Amen.
The word ought. See, here's, we'll say things like this. Well, you ought to go to church, which means that we are suggesting it would be a good idea to go to church, right? That we look at that word ought as in a request that would probably be beneficial. But this word he's using here means this, necessary.
Yes, sir.
It's necessary. You have to have air to live. Can we agree there?
Right, sir.
You quit breathing, you know what happens? Gone. You have to have blood. It's necessary for you to have blood to live. Agree?
Yes, sir.
Well, how in the world, if we understand the necessity of those things to live, and the Lord's telling us it is necessary to pray, do we not see that as our lifeline to keep us going in the world we live? If you don't pray, friend, you're an easy target.
Yes, sir. You're right.
And the word faint means to be utterly spiritless or lose heart.
Yes.
Men ought always to pray,
yes,
necessary, and notice, faint and not to faint. So he's saying it is necessary for you to pray, and it is also necessary for you to not be utterly spiritless and lose heart. There's hope. When you lose hope, you've lost everything. And if you've got hope in this world, you know what? If that's all you got, you're most miserable. I'm not miserable. Listen, if you'd have sat in on the meetings I sat in on this week, most of you, maybe, I don't know, I won't say that, most people would be like, mess over. We ain't gonna win no more elections. We might not. But see, my authority, hang with me. There's no election. My authority, the one I worship, the one I serve, they're not going to dethrone him.
Right.
See, they've tried. All this is just till one day, right? When he comes, he's going to set it all straight. So, yeah, I have my preference, Brother Danny. There are some things I'd like for some people to win, so maybe we could get some things back on track. But whether they win or not, praise God. See, my hope isn't in 2024, and it's not in 2030, and it's not in the midterms. It's the fact that the King that I serve is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and one day he'll ride in on a horse, praise God, and he'll set everything just like it's supposed to be. So all I've got to do is keep praying and don't get discouraged along the way. It has nothing to do with you or me. It has all to do with him. He will not lose. He will not lose. So I'm encouraged, and I can sing on the winning side, and I cannot grow weary in well-doing, because I know when it's all said and done, we win. So what causes the cause of our defeat? Well, a couple things. Deception, discouragement. See, a lot of God's people are discouraged right now. And I'm not making light of it.
Right.
I understand. It's easy to get discouraged because we have this idea of how things ought to go, and when it doesn't go that way, we get out of sorts, right? It's easy to get discouraged. Distractions.
Right.
They're everywhere. I told the choir this morning, we were talking, and I said, listen, we just need to get refocused on some things.
That's right. Amen.
I said, some of you are upset where you stand. Some of you out of sorts about who sings what and who comes in where. And I said, if you're not careful, we're going to get distracted.
That's right.
And forget that we're singing for the King of Kings,
yes,
and Lord,
sir,
of Lords.
Amen.
Right? It's not about, how we sang this, and that's not, I don't like this song, and why don't we, see, you're missing the whole thing. This isn't about sitting in your car.
That's right.
Doing what you want to do. We're serving someone greater,
yes,
than you,
yes, sir,
and
right,
me.
Yes.
This is not your church. It's not,
amen,
my church. It's his.
That's right.
That's not my choir. You're not my people, right?
Come on,
well, we're just here, yes, serving him.
Yeah.
And so if we're not careful, we get distracted by stuff that does not matter.
Right?
Right? We get distracted. We get discouraged. We get defeated by stuff the devil's doing. And I know he's real, Brother Kenneth. I know he's working, but I don't have to participate in his game. Disease, doubt, division, they're all there. God can get you to doubt. I mean, if Satan can get you to doubt God, you won't believe. Division. You don't think there's division among God's people? We argue about everything.
You're right.
You got Baptists arguing about this revival in Kentucky. I don't care. I choose not to participate in the debate. Listen, I got to keep my eyes on him.
Amen.
Amen. You better keep your eyes on him. You better realize, praise God, that if Satan can get you distracted, if he can get you discouraged, if he can cause division, he starts winning. And so there's the cause of defeat, but then there's the confidence over defeat. In verse 1, he said, men ought always to pray and faint not. There it is. I don't have confidence in my flesh. I realize that without God's power, Brother RJ, without God, I can be a statistic.
Yes, sir. Amen. Glory to God.
Before you pat yourself on your back and start pulling on your spiritual suspenders, you can be some carnage along the way too. Huh? Not me. I'm too strong for that. Go ahead and keep thinking that way. You just put a target on your back. Hey, I've said this often, moms and dads, one of the worst things you do is start bragging about how good your kids are and how much they love God. My kid will never do that, praise God. My kid, you know what you did? Here you go, Satan. Here's a big old target on my kid's back. Huh? Amen. You better just get on your face and ought always to pray for your children and your grandchildren. You ought always to pray for your pastor. You ought always to pray for your wife and your husband. Why? Because none of us are immune from it, friend. Confidence over defeat is not in my ability or yours. It's not in the Baptist, by the way. It's not in our convictions and our standards. May I say our confidence over defeat is that we are ought always to pray and not faint. So here it is, prayer. Why? Because it's necessary. See, it's not optional. And that's where, Brother Eddie, we make the mistake. I don't have time to pray. I'm too busy to pray. You don't have time not to pray, friend. You go digging out of your house and ladies got your makeup about halfway done and curlers in your hair and 7 gallons of coffee and I don't have time to pray. You know what you're doing? Come on, Satan.
That's right.
Sir, you're more interested in Sports Center and your paper and getting to the job so you can sit in the break room and talk about hunting and fishing and playing golf and all that stuff, and you don't have time to pray, you're in trouble.
That's right.
Church, you don't have time to get here early and pray for the service. You don't have time, fellas. We have prayer room in my office at 4:45 every Sunday night. I don't have time. I just come in on two wheels. You better be careful. Your confidence is not in your intellect,
yes, sir.
In your ability, your wisdom. Our confidence is this. Men ought always to pray.
Right.
Necessary. Yeah. It is your lifeline, friend. Defense against defeat, yeah. Right? Yeah. Number two, the determination. Well, look what the Bible said. It said there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she didn't say a preacher, didn't say a deacon, didn't say a Bible, just a widow,
right?
I'd rather have some little old widow lady. A lot of times praying for me.
Yes, sir. Come on, Bridget. Yes, sir.
Than the greatest theologian.
Amen.
She, boy.
Amen.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
Them little old girls know how to get a hold to God,
yes,
right? She said, she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but after word, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual. I like that word, continual. I used to think, why do I need to keep praying if I've said it one time? God knows all things. Why do I even need to pray, Brother Matt? Because God already knows what I need. He tells us he knows what we need. It's not about me letting him know what we need. It's about God showing me, confirming in my heart my need. Sometimes with our pride, you know what happens? We don't think we need God. So you see the determination in the authority. There was one who could fix the problem. You listening to me? It wasn't the widow. It was the judge. Now, what are you saying? Listen to me. You do well to stop embracing this carnal, temporal philosophy is I'll just pull myself up by my own bootstraps and fix my own problem. Now, I believe in personal responsibility, and I believe in personal accountability, and I also believe in ownership. If we're honest, most of the problems we have are self-inflicted. Right? You can blame everybody you want to, but when you wake up and look in the mirror, guess what? They're probably not going to fix your problems for you. So what I would say is a good dose of honesty and a good mindset that only God can fix my problems, and he may use me to do it, and he may use other people to do it, but he's the one who's in charge, will take care. Listen, if he is the authority in your life, why am I not calling on him? Why is he the last resort instead of the first resort? Why are our internet friends, why do they have more of an impact in what I do than the God of glory?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Huh? Amen. See, he is the authority, the determination. She didn't go to her brother. She didn't go to her sister. She didn't go to her neighbor. You with me? She didn't even say, I'm going to take care of this myself. She had enough sense to say, there's somebody can fix the problem for me. I'm just going to go straight to them. And if you and I would understand that no man is going to fix our problem, it is God that takes care of that. He didn't seem interested in fixing this woman's problem. Sometimes God seems unjust to us, doesn't he? I've been praying for 10 years. I've been praying for 12. Well, that's a thing of the past for most people, Brother Jerry. Most people, if they pray one time, God doesn't, well, he ain't answering it. Right? He's not answering. Well, if that's the case, there's some people, brother, I've been begging to get faithful to church for 20 years. Right? There's some. I've tried to preach the devil out of them. I've tried to beg them. I've tried to. They just going to do what they're going to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen? I mean, listen now. Come back Sunday night. Be a blessing to you. Ain't got time for that. Hallelujah, bless God. If you don't go out Sunday night, you won't love God. Yeah, that's right. I'm like, well, they ain't my youngins.
That's right.
They're yours.
Amen.
I'm just setting the food out, man. You don't want to eat? Starve if you want to.
Amen.
Right?
That's good.
But see, I can't fix the problem.
Good,
you can't fix the problem.
Yes, right.
But he can fix the problem.
Yes, that's right.
Mom and Dad, guess what? Ultimately, your kids may listen to you, but until their heart gets set on serving God, until God becomes real in their heart, that they're not getting it.
That's right. Amen.
He's the authority, right? So why not go to the one that can fix the problem? The adversity. Something troubled her. Her life wasn't easy. Her life was, well, I just don't feel like praying. Well, that's when you should pray.
Right?
Right? I'm just so discouraged I can't even pray. Well, just go through the motion. See, we've got an advocate with the Father. And when you don't know exactly what to pray and how to pray, I'm glad we got the Spirit of God that lives within us that will pray on our behalf. Amen. So don't not pray. Just do the best you can. And God knows. And I just say, instead of saying, I just can't pray because I don't feel up to it, do it until you feel up to it. There will always be adversity. When we face adversity, pray. Adversity comes in many forms, doesn't it? Here's what we've got to be careful of. The adversity you go through will not be the same adversity somebody else goes through. Now, hang with me. Because here's what happens. Can you believe they got out of church over that? Can you believe that they're so discouraged over that? May not be a big deal to you. But to them, it is a big deal. Because there may be somebody looking at your big deal that goes, can you believe they're all tore up over that?
Right?
Brother Danny, I'm guilty sometimes.
Right.
I'm just type person, I'm like, just grit your teeth, right?
Right.
Grit your teeth and do it.
Right.
Ugly, it hurts. Amen.
Right.
Just do it, Brother Harley. I mean, and if you're not, you're soft. I mean, that's just, right? And there has to be some of that. You can't, every time something goes on in your life, you can't just, I'm done. I mean, we need some grit. I say it often, some of you need to put some gunpowder on your cornflakes in the morning and eat that stuff and just man up a little bit. But if we're not careful, we look at others and downplay their discouragement. But ours is always a big one. Theirs is small, ours is big. Well, maybe they're looking at you going, yours is small. Right? There's something about a speck and a log,
right.
Jesus dealt with.
Right.
Read that. That'll help you.
That's right.
Then there's the annoyance. That word troubleth. Said this widow troubleth me. That word means annoy. She was annoying. Well, I understand this. We don't annoy the Lord,
right?
He's showing the contrast between this earthly judge and a heavenly father. We're not annoying him. But she was persistent, and that's the principle he's trying. Listen, you're not annoying God. He's wanting your persistence in prayer. She wouldn't give up. She wouldn't back down. Maybe God delays answers to test our faith and persistency, and even though it may seem to not do any good, we ought to pray.
Amen.
Even though it may seem we are annoying God, we're not. You ever thought about this? Listen to me. Listen close to this. Some people, the only time they pray is when stuff is bad. That's the only time they pray. Now, I'm not, before I say this, do not write this down and go out of here and say, well, preacher said the reason God does this stuff is so we'll pray more. I'm not saying that. But you ever thought maybe that God wants fellowship with you more than we want it with Him?
Yes.
You ever thought maybe if the only time we pray and spend time with God is when we're in trials and tribulations, you ever think maybe sometimes God allows them to happen so we will spend more time with Him?
Amen.
I'm not saying that's in all cases.
Right.
Brother Adam, I mean, let's be honest. Things going good? God, I don't need you. Right? I don't need. We're good. I'll call you when I need you, right? That's the way a lot of people do their pastor. I don't need you, preacher. I'll call, preacher. You listen. You gonna have to help me here, right? Well, that's how we treat God.
Right.
I don't need you. I'm not gonna pray till I need you. Then when I need you, I expect the answer. Right.
Amen.
So I'm almost done. Hang with me. Let's look at verse 6 through 8. Now, notice, and the Lord said what? Hear. Hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily.
Yes.
Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. It's interesting to me. The Bible said, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him. Right? That's what it says.
Right.
Though he bear long with them. Then he goes in this next verse, and I will tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Well, that to me sounds like two different things, right? Because one verse he's saying, listen, day and night they're praying, which again, we don't normally do.
Right.
Then he goes on to say, though he bear long with them.
Right.
Doesn't sound to me like that's quick, does it?
Right.
Then in the next verse he said, speedily. Sounds to me like we're on two different timetables.
That's right.
Sounds to me like God's saying, this ain't your timetable, this is mine.
Amen.
You just keep praying. I'll decide when it's time to answer the prayer. And when I do, it's going to happen quick, right? So here's the directive. Here's what God tells us in these verses. He says here, because notice in verses 1 through 5, this woman's doing all the talking.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
Then in verse 4, he says here. In other words, listen.
Yes, sir.
You know what we have failed to learn to do? Listen.
That's right.
So, some Baptist folk, listen, don't. This is the longest you've ever been quiet sitting in church. Some of you can't even do that. You'll talk through the whole service. I got something to say. Right?
Great.
You don't learn anything because you do all the talking.
Amen.
We don't have the ability to listen. One of the things, by the way, we'll deal with in the marriage retreat is called empathetic listening.
That's right.
It's called listening without processing what you're going to say next. When you do that, you're not listening.
That's right.
You're trying to figure out how to come back to what you just heard to prove your point. You don't care what that person's saying.
Go ahead, Good.
That's where a lot of folks are. I'll sit in my office and say, I need to talk to you about something. And I'll try my best. I'm listening. I'm going, And I get ready to talk, and I'll say something, and I see the wheels. I'm going to tell you, preacher, why you're not right, why this doesn't work for me. All right. What's he telling? Listen. Pray, but listen. How do you listen? Well, one, through the Word of God. Why listen for that still small voice? You should. But still, small voice will never go against the Word of God.
Amen.
So if you're not spending time in God's Word, you're only getting half of this thing called prayer, right? You're only getting half. You're wanting to be the one doing all the talking, but not the listening.
Good.
Prayer is more than speaking. It is also listening.
Right.
And then also notice this other thing that God tells us is His love. He said, shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though that He bear long. Here, he's saying, he gives the contrast. Here's an unjust judge.
Right.
He didn't care a thing about this woman. He didn't care a thing about this widow.
Right.
He's just doing it because she is annoying him.
Right.
If she'll stop talking, I'll do it, right? God's giving us the contrast saying, that's not who I am. I love you. I listen to you because I love you. I spend time with you because I love you.
Yeah.
I answer your prayer because I love you.
Amen.
Right?
Glory to God.
So this morning, she just sang about it.
Yes.
The love of God.
Yes, Lord.
He allows us to pray because He loves us.
Yes, sir.
When you don't take advantage, you're saying, you know, we can talk all we want to about, how I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Well, when you don't pray, you know what you're saying? I don't need to spend time with you.
That's
I don't need any fellowship. I'm just going to go. I'll call you when I need you, Lord.
That's good.
So, though she troubled this unjust judge, we don't trouble him.
Yes, sir.
He's willing.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you this in closing. Two things. Number one, do you have a relationship with Him?
That's right.
Do you know Him?
Yeah.
I'd ask you if you got baptized, shook the preacher's hand, said some little prayer.
Right.
Do you know Him?
Amen.
Is He your Heavenly Father? Is Jesus your Savior? Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? Right? If we're going to find out, it's not about religious activity. I'm glad you're here, right? I'm glad the choir sang. I'm glad the congregation sang. But that ain't what this whole thing Christianity is about.
Right.
All that is an outflow of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that, friend, number one, you're missing out on the greatest thing that you would ever experience. Number two is you're not going to heaven. So why would you miss heaven for what you got now? But here's the other thing. If you are a Christian, if you are saved, if you do know Him as your personal Savior, and you live this dreadful, discouraged, downtrodden, defeated life, when's it going to change? Well, you don't understand what all I'm going through. Read through your Bible. You think you suffered more than Paul has?
That's good. Right.
He's the one, I can do all things. We are... Hey, remember this? Had a thorn in the flesh. Prayed. God didn't remove it. He said, I will glory in those infirmities.
That
don't make sense to me. How in the world can you rejoice in the fact that God said, here's something that's going to hinder you? I'd say because we're not where Paul was at.
Right. Sure.
Well, I'm just not Paul. I'm not Jesus. There's nobody perfect. Well, that's not a badge of honor. Right. If you name the name of Christ, we should be coming more like Him.
Good.
Maybe it's because we don't pray enough.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Maybe we don't understand that word ought.
Right.
The necessity of
Amen.
Prayer.
Amen, sir.
Maybe that's the reason we are defeated and discouraged is we don't, something about, boy, I mean, you get in there praying. I mean, when it's real, when it's real good, you ever been there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That spiritual ecstasy that takes place and you're like, man, it could be a tornado outside. And we're like, boy, it's good. Right? We can have that. We just got to ought always, not sometimes. Let's stand. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed this morning. The altar's open. Do want to ask you, by way of an uplifted hand, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Wonder if you do this. Wonder if you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. If I die today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. I won't come to you. Won't embarrass you. I just want to pray. Would you, just by an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? Maybe you'd come this morning, several on the altar. I don't know your need. Maybe you just need to come. Maybe it's uncomfortable for you to come and pray. That's okay. But don't get discouraged with it. You just mind God. You do what God tells you to do. While others are coming, she's playing. You come. Strengthening, God, encouraging. He's my friend, I love him. I know you love him. Come on, you mind the Lord this morning. Thank you, Father, for the message, and thank you for the privilege we have to pray. Thank you for hearing us and loving us. And we leave here in just a few moments. May we leave encouraged to know that you're still on the throne. You're still the authority. And you invite us to sweet fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray.